27 ballistic missiles, one intercepted. That's not a typo. And Zelensky wasn't being rhetorical when he reported those numbers after Russia's overnight attack on Kyiv. He specifically blamed a shortage of Patriot interceptor missiles, the physical rounds that the system fires. And the timing here is excruciating, because this came just as the Trump administration backed away from a deal that would have allowed Ukraine to manufacture Patriot interceptors domestically rather than depend entirely on U.S. resupply.
The strategic logic of that manufacturing deal was sound. Ukraine intercepts so many incoming projectiles that it's burning through interceptors faster than the resupply chain can replenish them. Domestic production would have broken that dependency. Pulling back from it, whatever the diplomatic reason, means the gap Zelensky is describing isn't a temporary problem, it's a structural one. And he said it plainly, the shortfall only encourages Russia. You can debate the geopolitics all day, but that specific causal chain is hard to argue with. Russia sees Kyiv unable to defend itself, and it launches more missiles.
What's also worth understanding is the weapon Russia is using to compound this problem. The Banderol missile, Russia's relatively cheap cruise missile variant, has been hammering Ukraine's Black Sea ports. The name itself is almost darkly ironic. Banderol is a postal term, and Russia is essentially delivering packages Ukraine can't return. The economic significance of the Black Sea ports cannot be overstated. These are the arteries through which Ukrainian grain moves. Disrupting them isn't just a military objective, it's a mechanism for pressuring European food supplies and undermining the economic case for continued Western support.
The drone economy angle is genuinely interesting from a market perspective. Wildberries, Russia's largest e-commerce platform, their rough equivalent of Amazon, has reported billions in losses from Ukrainian drone strikes on its logistics infrastructure. Which tells you two things. First, Ukraine's long-range drone capabilities are more commercially disruptive than Russia anticipated. Second, the economic warfare is genuinely bidirectional now. Russia is targeting Ukraine's export capacity through the Black Sea. Ukraine is targeting Russia's domestic logistics through drone strikes.
There's a broader hardware question sitting underneath all of this, and it connects to something General Grinkiewicz told the Pentagon this week that I found genuinely alarming. He said he may have to choose between positioning assets to defend Israel against Iranian threats and defending the American homeland, because he simply doesn't have enough destroyers in theater. Think about what that sentence means operationally. A theater commander is telling his civilian leadership that the United States has overcommitted its naval assets to the point where two simultaneous defense obligations cannot both be honored.
From a resource allocation standpoint, that is an extraordinary admission. The U.S. Navy operates about 90 destroyers in its fleet, and the fact that a regional commander is making this kind of public statement, or at least a statement that became public, suggests the Middle East escalation is drawing on resources that were presumably allocated for other contingencies. We'll come back to Iran specifically, but the destroyer shortage and the Patriot interceptor shortage are really the same problem. Wearing different uniforms, American defense commitments have outrun American defense inventory in this particular moment.
And the political backdrop in Washington is making rational resource allocation harder, not easier. Republican lawmakers are openly blaming Defense Secretary Hegseth for what they're calling a fearful yes-man posture, shielding Trump from the consequences of the Iran policy, rather than giving clear military advice. Nearly two-thirds of Americans, per current polling, say the Iran conflict isn't worth fighting. That's a significant political weight on any military planning decision.
The Pentagon is also moving to restore civilian protection roles that Hegseth had cut, which suggests there's internal recognition that some of those cuts went too far. These aren't cosmetic changes. Civilian protection frameworks govern how targeting decisions are reviewed, which has real operational and legal implications. The fact that they're being quietly reinstated while Hegseth is under public pressure is worth watching.